This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
This morning, we'll spend our time catching up with the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District. The Illinois Department of Ag recently released results of the 2017 Soil Erosion and Cropland Tillage Transect Survey, which was completed this spring by Soil and Water Districts and the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. Cord Louie and Melissa Cobble completed the survey for Montgomery County, and we talked about the results as well as how the district's fish sale went on Monday.
So my counterpart, Melissa Cobble, and I had a little bit of windshield time this, I guess it would have been early June when we ran this, and so a lot of it's just sort of driving around, and we have different points on a predetermined map, and once we reach a point, we inspect the field on the left side of the field as well as the right side, and we sort of determine how much residue has been left on the field. Based on the residue, the tillage practice that goes into it, we also document any erosion that may be going on in the field. And then along with that, we sort of check, like, are they doing cover crops, or if it's pasture or any other sort of special commodity crop.
So the reason for this survey is what? Obviously, you're examining the soil and looking at tillage practices. Is that information then used for anything?
So on the report that you can see on the Illinois Department of Ag's website, it covers the gamut of the state. And so there's a couple purposes for this. One sort of minor aspect of it, I guess, is if we do see erosion in any field, we can use this as outreach. So not necessarily that we know who the farmer is at the time, but we can say sort of, especially with the spring that we had this year where it was wet, you know, we did note a little bit more erosion going on. So we can sort of use that as outreach to say, hey, we know everybody had a wet spring based on, you know, the erosion that we're seeing out there. We have practices that can help establish this or help reduce the amount of erosion that you're having. But we also, this also sort of determines the county funding a little bit. So based on how high your T number is, which is your tolerable soil loss in your county, then that helps determine to an extent the amount of funding that your county receives from the state.
Did you see a particular type of tillage or the way the soil looked more than others? I see there's a list of tillage practices on this survey, which you can tell us a little about those. But did you see something more than others throughout the county, or did it just really vary?
So it did sort of vary. Obviously up in the panhandle, they have a little bit better soils that maybe aren't as well drained, so they feel like they maybe need to do a little bit more tillage. But in other parts of the county, we definitely had, you know, the people who were no-tilling and were just sort of not really trying to run the tractor as much as, you know, maybe their counterparts elsewhere. So it's really all across the system, you know, or all across the board. You have people who, you know, they're doing a lot of tillage because they feel like they have hard pans in their soils, or they feel like they just need to work it up a little bit. And then we had people who were no-tilling and who were drilling into standing cover crops, which is definitely something that I like to see as a resource conservationist. So sort of to cover over the tillage practices that we have no-till, which is typically just your standard drill practices. And this is something that when somebody harvests in the fall, they'll leave their corn stalks out there and they'll just drill their beans right into it. And that's something that I like to see too. You're not working up the soil as much. And this also benefits the farmer, in the ways that, you know, obviously you're not running your tractor as much. So then you're not spending as much on fuel, but you're also getting that benefit of if you do have a wet spring like we did this year, you're not having a lot of erosion in your field and you're not losing a lot of the nutrients or the fertilizer that you may be applying. So then sort of on to mulch till and reduced till. Mulch till is sort of, they're not, I don't want to say one and the same, but they do sort of cover the same range of leaving the residue on the field. And, you know, this is obviously something we like to see too. Obviously the lighter the tilling and the more residue you leave out there, we really like to see that. And then you have your conventional till, which is just, you know, you sort of run in a disc across it All of these have different point values associated with them, but conventional till tends to leave the least amount of residue and typically results in the lowest score for our survey.
So they have percentages, and this was done throughout the state, and it looks like for 2017, this year's survey, conventional tillage was the most commonly seen thing. I mean, I guess that's not surprising. Is that surprising to you?
Not entirely. Obviously, like I said, as a resource conservationist, I do like to see no-till, but it is one of those things that with the wet spring that we had, sometimes you just can't help it. Sometimes it's one of those things that your field was under a couple inches of water, and when it finally did dry out, you felt like you really needed to go in there and hit it with a disc or something before you felt like you could get in there and plant something on top of it. For the year that we had, I think that it was sort of common practice. But it is one of those things that typically we do like to see no-till a little bit more than we see conventional tillage, I guess.
And I guess the number that I was just looking at, that's listed under corn. So then when we look at soybeans, conventional tillage is actually down. It's not the highest.
Mm-hmm.
That's just based off of what crop was in the field and how they chose to work the ground that year.
Yeah. So again, like you said, you know, sort of going, people who are planting corn, drilling corn isn't a super common practice, I'll say. A lot of people just use a planer, and so it's one of those things that maybe you're getting into the field with the wet spring that we had, and you do need to, you got to disc it up so you're not planting right into something that's an inch thick of nothing but a hard pan. So that is one of those things. A big thing that, and I know we discussed it before we got on the air, was we do run this biennially, and so it's one of those things that we're seeing the same results across the board every other year, and especially with a lot of people running a two-crop system, you know, we're getting the same results. So we did get, you know, sort of direction from our state people saying that we should run a transect survey next year. So hopefully we'll see a little bit more of a decrease. Hopefully we'll have a drier spring and we'll see a bit more of a decrease in conventional tillage again.
All right. Well, it's nice to know we've got feet on the ground out surveying and looking at different tillage practices, I guess I'll say. Something else I know that recently happened for the Soil and Water Office, you had your fall fish sale.
Yes, we did. We had that, I guess that was just yesterday morning. So we did really well. It was the highest number that, I mean, I had seen in the two fish sales that I've been here for, but we did sell a lot more than we did in the spring, and grass carp was a pretty big hit this year. A lot of people, really encouraging. A lot of people are looking and sort of trying to turn away from chemical solutions for vegetative problems in their ponds, and so a big sort of sell point this year was the grass carp, and you know, trying to get people to sort of move away from this chemical option, and a lot of people were trying to do it on their own, so I was really, really glad and really excited to see that.
So the grass carp, then they're known for eating algae and plants that we don't want covering our ponds.
Mm-hmm. So it is one of those, so I mean, I've heard in a pond that we have, we've put grass carp in before, and if they have, you know, one sort of problem is that they do too good of a job. They will often eat themselves, you know, out of work. And so we've had ponds that, you know, they're clean, but then we find the grass carp wedged between two rocks trying to get at the grass that's planted on the stream bank. So they do a very good job, but it is one of those things that you have to watch your stocking rates. Otherwise, they will compete with each other for food.
Do you have issues with the grass carp with repopulating? You know, you hear about Asian carp.
Mm-hmm. So the grass carp that we get on for our fish sale are genetically, they won't reproduce. They can't reproduce. So it's sort of just genetically bred out of them. So you won't have that issue. Now, this obviously does present a problem in the fact that you will have to come back and buy more grass carp at some point. But it's sort of one of those things, like you said, we hear about, you know, all the problems that we have with Asian carp. So it is one of those things that typically we try to steer towards a non-reproductive option versus something that is going to take over your pond.
Well, sounds good. Sounds like a good alternative as to using chemicals if they'll do the job. And Cord, I assume if anyone would want more information about that or to talk to you about the transect survey, the easiest way is to get a hold of you at the office.
Yep, stop by the office, and we're more than willing to answer some of your questions. We did have a couple people who missed the fish sale by a couple of days, but we will be having another one in the spring. This is always something that it's a service that we enjoy providing as a Soil and Water Conservation District, and we'd be more than happy to answer any questions or get a hold of us, and we can tell you when that spring date is once we figure one out.
Cord Louie, resource conservationist for Montgomery County Soil and Water. A friendly note here that the Litchfield FFA chapter is selling pork patties on Friday at the Homecoming Street Fair from 4 to 6 p.m. All proceeds will benefit the Litchfield FFA chapter. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.